We're wrapping up this week in 2 Peter 3, 14 to 18. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him, without spot or blemish, and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do to the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Today, we're wrapping up our devotionals on 2 Peter, and Peter ends his letter by summarizing a few themes from throughout the letter. Jumping right in, the first theme from verses 14 and 15 is his encouragement to be diligent in waiting for the day of the Lord when Jesus returns. The first part of verse 14, since you are waiting for these, the these refers to the new heavens and the new earth that Jesus will bring on his return. The directive is be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Because we can count on the promise of Jesus' return, we are to live in holiness and in godliness, without spot or blemish. Also, this promise brings us peace, even in the midst of trials or suffering. According to verse 15, God's patience is in not coming right away, gives us and all those around us a chance to repent and to enter salvation. Remember earlier in this chapter, Peter says God is not being slow in not coming yet, but rather he is being patient because he desires all to reach repentance. So once again, this first theme, which we've seen throughout this letter, is to be diligent to be holy for the day of the Lord. The second theme we see here from before is a warning against false teachers. In verses 15 and 16, he goes off to an aside about how what he's writing about matches up with what Paul writes about. Peter says that there are things in Paul's writings which are hard to understand. And this should actually give us assurance that we're not alone when sometimes we don't understand what the Bible says right away. Peter says sometimes Paul's writings are hard to understand. But there are ignorant and unstable people who don't try to seek truth in the scripture, but they try to twist scripture. Peter has warned against these false teachers who are familiar with the truth but have decided to go against it. The church has to be on guard for these people. Know that there will be false teachers and scoffers, so take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. To bring in my own analogy, it's like driving in Boston. When you drive in Boston, you have to know that there are crazy drivers who can cut you off really quickly, run lights that just turn red, and so on. You have to be aware that this happens, that there are crazy drivers out there. So we have to be ready to brake right away and, for example, double check that nobody is speeding towards us before we make a left turn. This fear of crazy drivers should not cripple us in fear, but we have to be mindful and aware that they're out there. And likewise, we have to make sure that their instability in driving does not cause instability in our own driving. For example, if somebody cuts us off, we should not try to retaliate and speed up to cut them off. It would just be furthering the instability. Peter says to stay grounded in your trust in Jesus. Don't let false teachers affect the stability of your faith. And the last theme that we are reminded of here is to keep growing in our relationship with Jesus. This goes hand in hand with being diligent and being vigilant against false teachers. Peter writes, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. We are called to grow or increase in experiencing the grace and goodness of Jesus. He deserves glory now and to the day of eternity. One more time, we have to remember that we are not living for the present, but we are living for eternity. We are looking forward to being in perfect communion with Jesus one day. And the best way to prepare for that is to deepen our communion with him now. Let's take a moment to reflect on these themes. How are we being diligent in hastening the day of the Lord? Are we becoming more and more rooted to withstand false teachings? Are we growing in our love for Jesus, experiencing his grace in greater ways? If we feel stuck or like we're on a spiritual plateau of some sort, whether from tough circumstances or transitions or maybe just from apathy, let's turn to Jesus and simply ask him for grace. Ask him for his grace. And let's pray for our brothers and sisters as well, that they'd be growing in their relationships with Jesus too. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this encouragement from this passage and throughout this whole letter. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to really grow in our love for you. Lord, help us to be found diligent on the day of the Lord, that we'd be looking forward to your return, and Lord, that we would be preparing ourselves and preparing others for that day. God, I pray for those of us who feel stuck in any way spiritually. I pray that rather than just trying to grit our teeth and persevere, Lord, that we would turn to you for your grace, for your encouragement to keep going. Lord, help us. We need your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.